Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in His house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah 10 verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And it shall come to pass in that day that His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. There is an anointing that takes away the burden. An anointing that takes away burdens. A burden, a load, a burden of tyranny there upon the shoulder. And there is an anointing that breaks the yoke. An anointing that breaks yokes. A yoke as imposed on the neck, literally or figuratively, this curved piece of wood fastened to the pole or beam laid upon the neck of beasts for drawing. Beasts bear yokes. Beasts wear yokes, this imposition upon them. Beasts. And a yoked beasts can no doubt be of great use. But what of a human? A human being. A human life. And there upon the shoulder, a burden. And upon the neck, a yoke of imposition, a yoke of bondage, a yoke of slavery, a yoke of possession and oppression. So many, a vast herd of people and a sea of burdens, countless yokes and countless yokings. Look and gaze upon the masses, observe the present reality of countless scores of people as they go about on all fours. They're on the shoulder, they're upon the neck. Those of imposition, yes, and those of choosing. There is an anointing. Oh, to have the burden taken away, to have the yoke destroyed. There was no other answer. The prophet Isaiah speaking so clearly. Burden taken away from off thy shoulder, yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The Wycliffe Bible, and it shall be in that day, His burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder and His yoke from thy neck. And the yoke shall wax all rotten from the face of oil. And it shall be on that day, His burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder and His yoke from thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The enemy force, the enemy oppression, the enemy force, the enemy oppression, the enemy's force, the enemy's oppression. Oh, for the day when the burden and yoke encounter the power of the anointing. There is an anointing. The anointing of the Anointed One. the anointed one, Jesus. There are those here today in this room that can testify of the power of this anointing, how it took the burden from off your shoulder and the yoke from off thy neck, how it destroyed the yoke. You know, it can happen in a moment, or it might take moments. And here the NLT version, in that day the Lord will end the bondage of his people. He will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders. The footnote, as in Greek version, Hebrew reads, the yoke will be broken, for you have grown so fat. The Amplified Classic, and it shall be in that day that the burden of the Assyrian shall depart from your shoulders and his yoke from your neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of fatness, which prevents it from going around your neck. This fitting application, an anointing, the anointing that causes supernatural spiritual growth. Growth because of the anointing, and the yoke can't handle it. The yoke isn't strong enough to handle what has taken place, and so it breaks. Have you not felt the anointing? Have you not felt the oil, its power, its holy influence? It would fail me to sufficiently describe it. The great burden and yoke of iniquity that all humanity outside of Jesus Christ suffer. The tyranny, the tyrant, the bondage, the slavery. They may not see it. Their eyes blinded. Beasts of burden. Burden beasts. And there is no remedy, no fix, no freedom, no liberty, no answer but one. The only hope for humanity, the only release from this burden and destroying of this yoke, is found at the cross. It's Jesus. And it's his anointing. One comes to Christ, comes before the cross of Jesus Christ, and there, penitent and repentant, realizing, knowing, and acknowledging they need saving, that they are sinful, that they have sinned, even dead in trespasses and sins, a burdened and yoked human life, human soul. Come and encounter the very anointing of Jesus, the power of the cross that takes off the burden and destroys the yoke of the oppressor. The words of John Bunyan, just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders, fell from off his back, and began to tumble down the hill, and so it continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher. There it fell in, and I saw it no more. Can we hear the Spirit of the Lord today? And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. A day of decision. The day of decision for the individual. The only freedom we have is in a man nailed to a tree. If we do not come before the cross, we will never be free from the great burden and yoke of iniquity, the burden and yoke that will one day steer us right through the gates of everlasting torment. Remember your day? The day the burden was loosed from off your shoulders fell from off your back and began to tumble down the hill into the mouth of the sepulcher to be seen no more. The very yoke destroyed by the power and anointing of the completed work of Jesus Christ. And this day could be somebody's day. Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A beast knows it's burdened and yoked, especially when these begin. However, as time passes, the beast may grow numb. Still the burden, still the yoke, but the years have desensitized the beast, so used to the burden and yoke, knows no other life, and therefore calls this freedom. A fitting description of much of humanity and a fallen humanity. And isn't it hard to see when everyone else looks just like you? Burdened and yoked. And yet there is an anointing that can awaken such people, that can break even this yoke of unconsciousness and ignorance. An anointing of God to awaken out of stupor, to snap one out of the trance. I share these words. It has been chronicled that the following took place. In 1857, a day or two before preaching at the Crystal Palace, I went to decide where the platform should be fixed. And in order to test the acoustic properties of the building, cried in a loud voice, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In one of the galleries, a workman who knew nothing of what was being done heard the words, and they came like a message from heaven to his soul. He was smitten with conviction on account of sin, put down his tools, went home, and there, after a season of spiritual struggling, found peace and life by beholding the Lamb of God. It was on his deathbed that this man told the story of his conversion, the result of God speaking to him through a single verse of Scripture uttered by Spurgeon. When Spurgeon preached in that building a day or two later, it was to a crowd of 23,653 people. Sorry, 54 people. But such is the power of Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin not only of the world, not only of a potential 23,654 people, but of one lone man working in a building when a preacher came to test the acoustics. This man will forever be grateful that when Spurgeon stood up front to do a sound check, he did not simply count to 10. The anointing. And hear the anointed word, voiced by a man of utterance and unction. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It took a season for the gallery man. After a season of spiritual struggling, found peace in life by beholding the Lamb of God. You see, the man grew fat because of the anointing, power. This anointed word to lift the burden and burdens and destroy the yoke and yokes. And yet there are beasts that are not yet stupefied, for they know there is a burden and a yoke. They feel it. They can't necessarily explain it. It's mysterious and almost mystical, but there they are, unable to put a hoof on it. I feel it. I feel it, but I know not what it is, this burden, this yoke. What do you mean? Can't you explain it? Can't you describe it? I can't. I just don't know. It's It's there, though, and it weighs upon me. It weighs so heavy, and it seems to even control me. One day, the beast is working in one of the galleries and hears a voice, a proclamation. One day the beast encounters Christian. One day the beast sees a sign of hope. One day the beast ends up in a church service with a yoke-breaking anointing. One day a beast stumbles across an open Bible. Look! It's open to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. Luke 4, beginning at verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, good custom, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. And he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The heart and the soul of the beast is gripped. Good news for the poor, the beggarly, destitute, lowly, afflicted, helpless, powerless, needy. Good news for the brokenhearted, the center of all physical and spiritual life. Good news for the captive, the prisoner. Good news for the blind, physically and mentally. Good news for the bruised, smote through, broken by calamity. Oh, good news for the burdened and the yoked. This anointing. What a moment. The words leaping off the page, the beast receiving the words and the anointed word. Here it is. This day, the moment, the feeling, the relief, the liberation, the deliverance, the freedom to be a real man. Off with the burden. The destruction of the yoke, born again, new creation, no longer a beast, no more an animal, set free from the tyranny and power of the oppressor. The sensation is indescribable. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." And yet, can't you hear it? Right here. Here one cries, "Oh, I don't want any burden, any yoke. I just want to live uninhibited, uncontrolled." A.W. Tozer said, "We must of necessity be servant to someone, either to God or to sin. The man who surrenders to Christ exchanges a cruel slave driver for a kind and gentle master whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light." The burden and yoke, the great burden and yoke of Jesus Christ. Listen, the burden and yoke of Christ is the only rest for our souls. The only rest for all souls. Unless a man takes his yoke upon him, the work is not yet complete. And yet I think of ones that have experienced and encountered the power of the anointing. How it lifted, be it the burden and yoke of sickness. How it destroyed the yoke of a particular sickness, or might it be an addiction. Someone prayed for them. Or perhaps they came into a worship service where the oil of Jesus was ever so thick and the burden was taken and the yoke demolished. Or it may be that they cried out. If there is a God, help me. A healing, a deliverance, a miracle, and the ensuing freedom. But that's where this ended. So many examples. And though the miraculous took place in their world, they chose not the taking upon self the yoke and burden of Christ. Off with a burden and yoke, but not the great burden and yoke of iniquity. Off with a particular burden and yoke, but not on with the yoke and burden of the Anointed One. A mother cries out for her sickly child and makes vows to the Lord. And the Lord, in His mercy, His grace and loving kindness, heals the child. The burden lifted, the yoke of sickness and infirmity destroyed. But how soon the mother forgets her vows and does not serve the Lord, gladly bearing the yoke and burden of Jesus as she said she would. Not a mother. Oh, Samuel, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, that is meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Charles Spurgeon said, losses and crosses are heavy to bear. But when our hearts are right with God, it is wonderful how easy the yoke becomes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, God did not reckon his son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. Costly grace is the sanctuary of God. It has to be protected from the world and not thrown to the dogs. It is therefore the living word, the word of God, which he speaks as it pleases him. Grace is costly because it compels a man to submit to the yoke of Christ and follow him. It is grace because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Easy. That is fit for use. Useful, virtuous, good, manageable, mild, pleasant, as opposed to harsh, hard, sharp, bitter. It speaks of things more pleasant, light, light in weight, quick, agile, the lightness, and our light affliction. It's what he says. Samuel Rutherford said, the cross of Christ is the sweetest burden that I ever bore. It is such a burden as wings are to a bird or sails to a ship to carry me forward to my harbor. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, only the man who follows the command of Jesus single-mindedly and unresistingly lets his yoke rest upon him finds his burden easy. And under its gentle pressure receives the power to persevere in the right way. The command of Jesus is hard, unutterably hard for those who try to resist it. But for those who willingly submit, the yoke is easy and the burden is light. The Amplified Classic, for my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. And there it is right in the text, the great key. The New King James Version, take my yoke upon you and learn. Learn from me. Phillips New Testament, put on my yoke and learn from me. The message, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I think of Saul. there on Damascus Road. He encountered the power of the Anointed One. Acts 26, we pick it up at verse 12. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O King, along the road I saw light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people, as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified, that is set apart by faith in me. Like a beast he was. Misguided in his zeal. And here is a man that thought he was actually serving God. But he wasn't. He was actually persecuting Jesus. It indeed is hard to kick against the goats. Verse 14, the NIV. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. God's word translation, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for a mortal like you to resist God. The New Century Version, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You are only hurting yourself by fighting me. Saul was burdened and yoked by a system that was utterly against Christ, and yet he did not know it until he encountered the power of Jesus on the road to Damascus. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Saul, the battle here is bigger. It's greater than you think. One man of God shares an interesting set of words. Saul's conversion could appear to us as having been a sudden encounter with Christ. But based on the Lord's expression regarding his kicking back, I believe he'd been working on him for years, prodding and goading him. I believe the words and works of Jesus haunted the zealous Pharisee. Quite likely, Saul had heard Jesus teach and preach in public places. Similar in age, they would have been contemporaries in a city Saul knew well and Jesus frequently visited. Is it possible this man had been kicking against the goads for some time now? Goads? What's the deal? To kick against the goads, the pricks, it's an image. An iron goad for urging on oxen, horses, and other beasts of burden. Hence the proverb, to kick against the goad. To offer vain and perilous or ruinous resistance. A stubborn ox, and the beast would kick at the goad. The more the ox kicked, the goad would cause greater pain, wounding. Saul felt it that day. Saul, you're meant to be Paul. I see the burden and the yoke upon you. I've come to you. I've come to you on this road, so come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Saul desired. Paul, small or little. Yes, the Lord desires every Saul. And oh, that every Saul would be made Paul, small, little, humble, a meek one under the yoke and burden of Jesus. You say, well, what of those that have chosen the burden and the yoke of the oppressor? I share these words. Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Notice first the largeness of his heart in singling out such needy ones to be the objects of his loving call. Did you ever notice the picture that our Lord has drawn in these words? All you that labor. That is the picture of a beast that has the yoke upon his shoulder. Men think to find pleasure in the service of Satan, and they permit him to lay his yoke upon their neck. Then they have to toil and slave and labor and sweat in what they call pleasure. But they find no rest and no contentment in it. And the more they do in the service of Satan, the more they may do. For he uses the goad and the whip and always urges them on to fresh exertions. Now Christ says to these people who are like beasts of burden, come unto me and I will give you rest. Fresh exertions. Hebrews 11:25, the passing temporary pleasures of sin. The NIV, the fleeting pleasures of sin. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift, that is the free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The unbeliever, the lost one, the beast under the burden and yoke of the beastly one, pleasure in his service, all kind of pleasure and pleasures, the satisfying of the flesh and the base nature of fallen humanity, the small indulgences, and the needle moves towards the exertions too shameful to even speak of. It felt like freedom. It felt like the free life. But that's the lie. The beastly one seeks only to steal, kill, and destroy. Oh, the toil has begun. The slaving, the laboring, the sweat in what they call pleasure. The goad and the whip of the enemy of souls. Next exertion, the next exertion, and the next exertion, this sick cycle. The yoke and burden of the beastly one, the oppressor. Why would you not trade this for the yoke and burden of the beautiful one, the liberator? Remember, we must of necessity be servant to someone, either to God or to sin, that is the oppressor, the devil, the enemy of souls. The man who surrenders to Christ exchanges a cruel slave driver for a kind and gentle master whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. What of the devil's hacks? What are the devil's hacks? Please hear these words. Does Christ want the devil's hacks then when they are used up in Satan's service? Does he want to persuade them to leave their old master and come to him? What? These sinners that are only tired of sin because they cannot find strength enough to go on sinning, or who are getting uneasy because they do not enjoy the pleasure they once did in wickedness, does Christ call them to come to him? Yes. And it shows the largeness of his heart that he would be willing to give rest to such laboring and heavily burdened ones. But the largeness of his heart is seen in the fact that he bids all such sinners to come to him. All such sinners, I repeat. What a great deal that little word, all, includes. I believe that generally when a man uses big words, he says little things. And that when he uses little words, he says great things. And certainly the smallest words in our language are usually those that mean the most. What does this little word all mean? Or rather, what does it not mean? And Jesus, without limiting its application, says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. All the magnificence of the love and grace of Christ, that he should have invited them all to come to him. Yes, he invites them all to come to him at once. Come along with you, he says, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Come in a crowd. Come in great masses. Fly to me as a cloud and like doves to their windows. There are never too many coming to please him. He seems to say, the more the merrier. Christ's heart will rejoice over all the multitudes that will come to him, for he has made a great feast, and he has bid many. And he still sends forth his servants to say, yet there is room. Therefore, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. John 8, 34 to 36, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The voice, Jesus, I tell you the truth, anyone who commits sin surrenders his freedom to sin. He is a slave to sin's power. Even a household slave does not live in the home like a member of the family, but a son belongs there forever. So think of it this way. If the Son comes to make you free, you will really be free. Can you hear him today? Come to me. Come to me. Church, we must stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand firm to persevere, to persist, to keep one standing. The NIV reads, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Philip's New Testament, plant your feet firmly therefore within the freedom that Christ has won for us. And do not let yourselves be caught again in the shackles of slavery. Apparently, it's possible. To become entangled again. To allow ourselves to be burdened again, to fall under the yoke, a yoke of bondage again, caught again in slavery. Yeah, the burden was taken. The yoke was destroyed, but the enemy keeps the workshop ramped right up, production never ceasing. These fitting verses, Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. 2 Peter 2:22, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Apparently it's possible. Remember the prodigal son? Now he took off. He spent all he had. He wasted his inheritance on disgraceful living. He came to the end of himself one day, though. He remembered how good it was in the Father's house. He remembered how good even the servants had it in the Father's house. Here he is, this burden, this yoke he was now under. And there he is in the mire with the swine, a man turned beast, and the pleasure had dried up, and now he's desperately hungry. He's eyeing the feed meant for pigs, and none given him. He comes to his senses, I will rise and go to my father. He journeys home, and the father runs to him on the horizon. The father embraces him, kisses him. The tears of the father streaming down his neck. He lifts his voice, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called a son. Make me like one of your hired servants. But But the father quickly puts the ring on his finger and clothes them in a robe. The fatted calf is killed. The party begins. My son was dead. Now he is alive. Imagine. Imagine if the son would have returned to his vomit. If the washed man would have returned to his wallowing in the mire. No. Let them not turn again to folly. Church, people of God, God's purpose, the determination and resolve of the Lord is not simply to free us from the burden and the yoke, but to deliver to us his burden and yoke. This is real freedom. This is true and lasting liberation. We need an anointing to stand fast. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. We don't have time to go over the other translations. An anointing that teaches us, that's what it's talking about, concerning all things. And it is true, and it is not a lie. Lord Jesus, keep us for life. Keep us for time and eternity. Keep us in the yoke, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Church, because of the anointing. You know that it can happen in calm moments too. One man said, blessed are they who in the calm moments of retirement, of worship, of prayer, of silent waiting, have found that to the heavy, the weary and heavy laden, Christ can indeed give rest. That compared with the heavy bondage of the world or the exactions of human systems, his yoke indeed is easy and his burden is light. I feel it's important to present a few more scriptures here this morning. The Lord warns us. The Lord warns us concerning yokes and yoking. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 16. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God and they shall be my people. Even this, 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Psalm 106, 35 to 39. But they mingled with the Gentiles. And learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of the sons and daughters whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works, that is, became unclean, and played the harlot by their own deeds, were unfaithful. Mingled, mixing with the pagans, and many translations speak of intermarriage. More alive than we know. Worship ministry, please come. Romans 6:22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, that is unto sanctification, and the end everlasting life. Off with unholy burdens, off with unholy yokes, and on with the holy, godly burden and godly yoke, Christ's yoke and burden. Ezekiel 34:27, then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. lion, ox, man, eagle. And I heard, does the lion take an ox, unyoke him, make him a man again, and then an eagle? I'm with you, brother. The cross of Christ is the sweetest burden that I ever bore. It is such a burden as wings are to a bird, or sails to a ship, to carry me forward to my harbor. Someone's in the room today, and you're saying, it's been so long. It's been so long. Should the burden come off, the yoke be destroyed, my shoulders and my neck bear marks and scarring that are permanent. Because of the anointing. Because of the anointing, and here the oil of anointing. The anointing even healing the place and places where the yoke rested for so long. People, there is an anointing. You know, there may be even a Christian in the house, in this place today, or listening to these words right now, and you're burdened. There's this particular yoke. It wasn't there, but now it is. Whatever it is and whatever caused this, there is an anointing. There is an anointing. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today.